Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Kyle, and welcome to Kyle's Conversation. Today in the conversation, we're going to talk about the weekend that happened in the Premier League. We're also going to talk about the tragedies in my hometown at Purdue University, and hopefully we can get my sister, because I'm at her house, on my show. The conversation begins right now. Welcome to Kyle's Conversation. Deuteronomy 31:6. Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Kind of think about that as you're going through your day-to-day. I might have to actually go up to see my sister in the other part of the room and get her on the show, because she has called in and it has shown me as not even being on line, on air. So it's actually saying it's waiting for me to be the host. So, and it does that sometimes from my house, and I don't know why, because I have called in. So thank you and welcome. This week in the Premier League, I'm going to kind of go over that recently with Manchester United, the Reds, 3-1 loss to Chelsea. And like I've said in my previous shows, if you look at a coach like Jose Mourinho and what he brings to that man, to that Chelsea team, it was the best thing they did bringing him back. And I mean, you look at like Manchester, do they rip their hearts out before they go out to play? I just don't see the intensity and the fire like they had. I mean, they have not, they're the same team. They really haven't changed much. And you take someone like that type of team and you say, where have they gone? I mean, there's evidence that they want one of Chelsea's players, Juan Mata, you know, for like £40 million. But I mean, I haven't seen any change really, except for Jack Ferguson's gone and David Moyes in. I don't think they should be that bad. It's just my opinion. And, you know, when you look at a team like Arsenal, it's first, I mean, this is a great, granted, I'm a Manchester United fan, this is a great, great Premier League season, because the first three teams are 1 point apart between Arsenal, Man City, and Chelsea. You know, 50, 51, and 49. So, and, you know, my favorite player is Dimitar Berbatov, and when he was kind of not interested, you know, Austin Bing was not interested in him, I kind of just said, wait a minute, what are we doing? Where are we going with this? Because I would think, like, the reason why I think Charles Ferguson was so successful was he was a cutthroat player, and he'd rather get 3 points and no points, but he also wanted to take and look at this idea of always trying to get the next player, always trying to have, okay, well, I'm going to have people in case he goes or he whatever, you know, so I always have a backup of people. And so that's kind of where we're at the Premier League stage. You know, we're seventh. I expected us about fifth. You know, I mean, I don't know if – I think if they played with more heart and intensity like they used to, I think they'd be a better team. And, you know, I mean, I like Dimitar Berbatov. He's a great player. And, you know, 3-1 win against Swansea City – and it was a great game. I mean, they did what they needed to do to get 3 points, and they needed that. You know, I think Tottenham Spurs can possibly get up in the fourth because they're tied with Liverpool at 43. So it looks like once I get through some things, I'm going to head up, and I'm going to get with my sister, and I'm going to do the interview from up there because she had foot surgery, and we're going to talk about, you know, what she's going through and whatever she's willing to talk about, you know. But I want to switch gears and I'm from Lafayette, Indiana. I'm a visiting my sister in Kalamazoo, Michigan, and a lot of things have happened when I've gone. Like in 99, when I lived in Indianapolis, somebody tried to take a truck with explosives and ram it into the courthouse and blow it up, and that was unsuccessful, and a couple other things have happened, you know, real bad weather, and there was a shooting at Purdue University, and my thoughts and prayers, first and foremost, go out to Andrew Bolt and his family. I can't even imagine what they're going through right now. I cannot even imagine. I mean, he was a 21-year-old student from Wisconsin, and I've been in that OS1 engineering building many, many times. I have a lot of friends that come from that area, so it's just one of those things that I'm just speechless, you know. I mean, I don't, and I conceal and carry, if you don't know. I support the Second Amendment, and I pray to God I never have to do anything but see a little steel or iron squirrel downrange or a paper target and complain that I hit the 10, not the 50 or the 25 on the target. I don't know. If I ever had to pull a trigger on someone, you know my life is in danger because I would not. I'm a vegetarian. I'm practically vegan, and I wouldn't hurt a squirrel. So, I mean, and, you know, if someone was there, in my opinion, and what I've seen with a gun concealed, they probably could have ended that. But from what they said and what the police have said, they basically, it was a one person, you know, this is one person, and, you know, it wasn't about 25 others, and there's a lot of people that said that they were actually going to, you know, they didn't feel like they were safe enough and all this stuff, and so it's one of those things that goes on and happens, and you just got to kind of roll with the punches, in a sense, because, I mean, there wasn't any knowledge of anyone else, so they really didn't have anywhere to go. You know, they just knew there was a guy that was with a gun, and that's all they had, and they didn't have, they had, the information they had didn't lead to anybody else, so. So, all my listeners throughout the world, please, you know, I think, I want to give a shout out to Northwestern University, because when those students and stuff with that, we stand with Purdue, that, it goes to show my point, because I am very conservative, I'm an American, you know, and I have some super ultra-liberal friends, and we'll argue because, you know, Detroit's the way it is because it's Black, Democrat, and Union run. I'm sorry. You're never going to convince me that Detroit is the way it is because conservative Tea Party Republicans took over Detroit, you know. But we disagree on many issues when it comes to Detroit and how it's been funded and how it's gone in the toilet, and I believe it's because of Republicans and Tea Party members and people that want smaller government. I don't believe Detroit is what it is because of, you know, the unionization of it and the Democrats. It can't be. I mean, we disagree on that because I believe 100% we are where we are in Detroit and Chicago because of a lot of this big government policy. And we disagree on it, but, like, when you look at what happened at Purdue University, you know, if we come together as a human race and put aside our petty differences, well, you can't believe in God because you're Mormon. You can't believe in, you're not going to heaven because you're Christian and you're Catholic, you know, because you're not Baptist. I've had arguments with people before, and I'm like, why can't we come together on what we believe in God instead of what we disagree on? You know, if we come together more on what we believe in as opposed to what we disagree in, this world would be a lot better place. And now I'm going to actually bring my sister, Lisa, into the conversation. So, Lisa is my sister, and I'm actually up here helping her. She recently had foot surgery, so I want to welcome you to the show.
Hello. Sorry, it's my dog.
So first of all, to all my listeners out there, I just wanted to welcome you, and it's nice to have you on the show. I've tried to get you on many times, but you kind of work like I do, 24/7, 365, taking care of people. So what do you actually do for a living?
Well, I am a manager at a specialized adult foster care home. We deal with those who have severe mental impairments and or physical impairments. A lot of residents, I call them my cubs because I am the mama bear. You mess with them, you mess with me. A lot of schizophrenics, bipolars, just a lot of, without getting out to misinformation, just a lot of severe mental disabilities. A lot of them we get from APS, Adult Protective Services.
Mm-hmm.
We get rescued. They get rescued and sent to us because they're living in such horrid conditions and or from different psychiatric facilities because they refuse to take their medication. Mm-hmm. And if they're under proper medication control, then they can lead a productive life.
Okay. Because I know that's, I mean, like where I work, I can't really go into a lot of the stuff that people we take care of and deal with just because of privacy concerns. I understand that. And, I mean, it's kind of amazing that we kind of have the, granted, I cook for them. I also, at times, like when I lived there for 5 days, I was having to take care of them and having to be there. And, you know, and it's just, they are your family. I mean, I have, like when I go and work there on Christmas, I am literally cooking for an extended family. And so it's just one of those things that, for me, it's just the most gratifying feeling when you know that you're there to help somebody that can't basically be there for themselves. Do you kind of feel that way?
Yes. When I recently had to take a 4-month leave because I had foot surgery. They had to essentially redo total foot fusion and had to break every bone on my foot to take the hardware out and to put screws and plates in. And all my residents, my cubs, were even buying me gifts to take into surgery with me in the hospital for healing.
Right.
And now they're even starting to call them. And I told them to give me 2 weeks before they started to call me to get the pain under control because I would be a really grouchy bear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So now they're even contacting me now because they're missing me and or they need counseling because they got in trouble for something and need an advice on what to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because I've had hernia surgeries and I've actually had third-degree burns from dropping a bucket full of boiling water after cleaning a fryer and it splashed up to one side of the bucket and got onto my pant leg and didn't think much of it and thought it just got to, excuse my friend, trip my pants off and who cares, and put another pair on, and when I lift them off, that's when I notice that third-degree burns. And anyone out there that says, oh, I just wish I could just sit on the couch and do nothing, let me tell you something. It's
boring as heck.
Yeah, it stinks bad.
It's so boring.
Especially when, because I know Lisa, just like I am, I'm one of those people that I want to do stuff for myself as much as possible. And it just, when you actually have to have someone help you go to the, I mean, I literally had a bucket next to the bed because the blood going down to the burns would push and cause so much pressure and so much pain that it hurt just to even stand up right next to the bed and try to pee real quick. Because for some reason, I could have to go to the bathroom so bad, but if I'm sitting down or lying down, I couldn't pee to save my life. I have to stand up, and when I did that, it was just excruciating. And having to have someone have to hold you up there so you can go to the bathroom, and it's just dignity issues.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually have to help Lisa, and it's a dignity issue, because like where I work, and I'm sure she can attest maybe where she works, you draw a fine line between having to help someone, but at the same time, them wanting to do it on their own. Because some people want help, and other people are offended because, hey, I can do this. I'm not a baby. Do you have that where you work, like dignity issues where people want to do stuff that...
Yeah, we do have some dignity issues, but most of them don't mind if they need help or medical treatment, because I am a certified medical assistant. They call me the nurse is what they call me, basically a glorified office nurse. So they don't care if I'm in there doing the medical procedures that they need to have done to them or the medication they need applied to different body parts.
Mm-hmm.
With me, they know me. I've been there 5 years. They trust me, so I don't have any issues. My issues that I have is a dignity issue of letting go, being totally vulnerable for 3 months sitting here at home. But I'm lucky for like you. You gave up 2 weeks of your vacation to come help me out.
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciate that so much. Even though you're not my biological brother, you're
yeah.
still my little brother, and I'm your big sister.
Oh, yeah.
And then I have my husband here helping me out as well. And then after you leave, a good friend of ours,
Todd.
Yeah, we'll just call him Todd, is going to be helping me out for a month.
Yeah.
Of actually coming and taking me and my little doggy, who's sitting right here next to us, and taking us to his house.
Yeah.
And he's even modifying his house for me,
yeah.
handicap-wise. He went and bought a wheelchair. He went and bought bars to put on his toilet. Stuff so that, and he's moving equipment around so that I can cook, because he knows that I stress cook and I can't do it right now.
Yeah.
He says, I can cook my heart's content there for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's what I, because you, to me, you're not biological, but you're family to me. And that's what, like, I mean, Todd is someone that I would give my right leg for. He's someone that, you know, I think this world would be better. Like, look at how many people went out of their way to help people on September 11th. Why do we have to have something like September 11th or a tragedy at Purdue University to make people care about each other? Why can't they just care anyways? Why can't they just be there for people to be there? My mom says this the most, and she said, the biggest thing that's hurt this country is we've gotten away from God. And when you take him out of the equation, you know, there's there's no responsibility. Because when I was a kid, you know, if I was to tell my mom, okay, you hit me, I'm calling the police, and say, go ahead. And her eyes would roll in the back of her head, and steam would come out of her ears. You know, nowadays, kids feel like they can get away with stuff because there's no consequences for their actions. The teacher can't. Well, my biological sister, I mean, she's known people that have literally patted a kid on the back, great job, and next thing you know, the parents then 3 days later saying that my sister's friend abused this kid. And she's just like saying, good job, way to go, congratulations. And, you know, and my sister's known people that, okay, I will not touch another kid. The kid will die in my classroom before I touch him, because I'm not going to have someone coming in saying, I abused a child. And it's like, you would never, when I was a kid, it was your fault, not the teachers, not the schools.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, I don't know if you'd agree with this, but there has been a lack of accountability on the part of people.
Yeah, I mean, when I was a child, if you messed up in school, the teachers had written permission from your parents to take you in the back behind the backboard and spank you,
mm-hmm.
or take a ruler to your hand and swat your hand. And when you got home, your parents gave you another spanking for acting out in school, and also growing up in the neighborhoods. If you messed up, the other parents in the neighborhood of the children were allowed to punish you.
Oh, yeah.
And we had to say the Pledge of Allegiance. We had prayer in school. And because of all that, the kids are not taught the Pledge of Allegiance. They're not taught how to write. They're not taught how to use cursive. They've taken prayer out of the school. And because of that, children are so ignorant today,
yeah.
totally ignorant, and they don't know what to do.
Okay.
They think they can do whatever they want and not get away with it. That's why we have so many children and young adults addicted to drugs and alcohol, stealing guns, stealing alcohol,
yeah.
you know, stealing from other family members.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
you know, and it's just, it's sad. It puts a knife in your heart when you have a family member stealing from you.
Yeah.
Which I've had experience in.
Mm-hmm. And one thing,
it's just a fix an addict.
Yep. And I agree. If you ever get the chance, it's from, there's a church in Albany, Georgia, that actually started making movies. Because in 2002, I think it was in 2001, their pastor was giving a speech, and he said the number one influence in this world are movies. And they said, well, why can't we make movies that have a good message? And Sherwood Pictures was formed, and they did a recent movie called Courageous, and it's so true because if fathers did what they were supposed to do in this world, over half of the stuff, probably 85% of the stuff that goes on the street wouldn't be there. And, I mean, my dad basically was overseas when I was a kid. He would basically go from Saudi Arabia for 2 months to maybe Italy for like a month and a half, 3 months. So I did not really have a father figure growing up. So I used, there were some other men in my life that molded me and shaped me into the person I am today. Not that my dad, you know, it's one of those situations where, okay, would you rather be homeless and have your dad there and go to the soup kitchen with him, or have him overseas doing work and being gone for 3 and 4 months at a time? You know, he did what he felt was best, and I basically take, and I had to use a guy by the name of Charles Byers, who recently passed in 2003. He was like a father. I mean, I lost my dad when he died, because he raised me when my family was kind of broken. Yeah, this is live radio, so if you got, like, phones ringing, dogs barking, but I said that at my house. I'll shut the ringer off, and it'll still ring.
My husband calling.
It is. It's God's will, because I've actually had the phone ring when I shut the ringer off, and I'm like, okay, obviously the Lord's not closing that door. So. Well, she's got to take an important phone call, so I want to thank Lisa for being there, and I'm going to finish up the rest of my radio show on my own. It was just nice to have her, and it's just one of those things that, I mean, seriously, nothing against what my dad did. I mean, when my dad, we had a house where we were living, and it took a long time for houses to sell. So my dad put the house up for sale, and as soon as he did, bang, it sold that day. And we had nowhere to live, nowhere to go. And we're like, what do we do? And we lived in a family next to us' garage for like 6 months. And they were like a second family to us. And when their dad died, that kind of raised me a lot when I was a kid, died. I lost it. Because he was there a lot when my dad couldn't be. And my dad was there in other ways. I mean, my biological dad. I love my biological dad. Don't get me wrong. He was in the Coast Guard, Prison Honor Guard. Told me some things that I just don't really talk about, just probably classified. But one thing I always joke about is my sister will complain about the way my dad eats. And my dad, like, well, I sat with Lyndon B. Johnson, and if he can eat like this, here's his fingers, and, you know, shut up. You know, so, nothing against my biological dad. He was great. He was there for a different reason, money-wise, because he was, you know, I mean, he was actually in Saudi Arabia when the ruble went under, and they had to smuggle him out of the country, but, you know, I mean, but Charles Byers, he basically raised me when I was younger a lot, and when he passed, it was, and even if you don't have a father figure in your life, per se, like a biological, if we had more fathers doing what they're supposed to do, a lot of the stuff we face in the street wouldn't be there, and that's basically what Courageous is all about. And if you get a chance to see that movie, it's a must-see movie, because they don't make movies to make money. They make movies when God tells them to, for what it's about. So I got about, I think, 5 minutes left in the show, so I got my sister Lisa back. And so it's just one of those things. What do you have? Do you have anything to add about, you know, fathers being playing a crucial role in, like, family life and the way kids are brought up? And do you believe, like I do, that there's, that if we had more fathers doing what they're supposed to do, we wouldn't have the issues we have?
Oh, most definitely. I mean, if fathers would actually be fathers and pray with their children, discipline their children, and help them with their homework, and be their friend as well as a father where they need discipline, but be the friend where the children feel that they're comfortable enough to talk to dad about the problems that they may be facing in school, the peer pressure, problems with their friends, getting advice. We wouldn't have the problems that we did. I mean, when we were growing up, we didn't even lock our doors at night.
Yeah.
Now the street that I grew up on was the nicest street neighborhood in town, and now the police won't even go down that neighborhood because it's so bad. And it's like, what happened? You know,
yeah.
30 years ago, we were on that street. We never locked our doors.
Yeah.
Nobody did. Okay. And there was no robberies. There was no break-ins.
Yeah.
And now children nowadays and kids just have, there's no repercussions for even legally for what they do.
Oh, I know.
They don't have to answer legally. If it's their first offense, they get off. Second offense, oh, they may do 30 days in jail and have community service. That's not going to teach them anything.
No.
It's going to teach them, okay, if I screw up and get caught, okay, I have a little time, but yet I can get drugs in jail, I can get education in jail, I can come out with a lawyer, being a lawyer.
Yep.
You know, they get health care, better health care than I get, and my husband works a very hard job to get us health care.
Yep.
They get so much more advantage.
First.
My opinion is they should go back to the chain gang. Yeah. Where they're chained up next to each other, they're out plowing the fields, growing their own food, or helping, you know, on the streets, cleaning up the streets, helping build the streets, doing something to work for the doing community service somehow.
Yep.
I'm a firm believer in that. And no death row for 10 years.
Oh, I know.
It doesn't take $5,000. To execute someone.
Oh, I agree.
I agree. Give them 3 years to prove their innocence, and then after that, they don't need to be on death row for 20 years.
Exactly.
And we're paying $50,000 a year for that.
Yep. Oh, I know. It's ridiculous.
You know, I mean, if prisoners, people were truly held accountable for what they did, the crime rate would significantly drop down to probably 5-10%.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
If there was harsh punishment like there used to be back in the day.
Yep. Because my dad's one of those people. He's been in Saudi Arabia where it don't matter if you steal a penny or $1 million, they chop a finger off. And if you walk up to someone and he's missing a finger, you'll know he's a thief, first off. And the odds of that guy ever getting his reputation back, we have about 90 seconds left in the show, but basically, you know, and it's true. If you see a finger missing, you know that guy's a criminal or a thief, and it might take his whole lot, the rest of his life, for him to get people to accept him as a, you know, like my sister said, there's no repercussions for anything that goes on anymore in this world. You know, you can't, if I had a kid, I'd go to that teacher, okay, you had the permission to beat his butt. Okay, I'll even bring in the paddle. I'll make sure it's stainless steel. You can wipe his butt. But you can't do that nowadays. It's, oh, well, you know, I mean, what's really good, if you can watch it, it's called Not for the Easily Offended by Carlos Mencia, and he does a whole thing on school where, like, when I was a kid, if I came home from school and I was dropped off a mile from the house because the bus driver did it, they'd be asking me, what did they do? I'm going to call the school, and we're going to find out what you did. Nowadays, a kid gets dropped off a mile from school, the parents be going, why did you drop my kid off? What did you do to my kid? Da 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 da. There was no, you know, same thing, like if you were to, when I was a kid, if the teacher called me stupid, mom's like, yeah, you are. How many other people did she say she was stupid? None. 5 seconds left. So I just want to thank you all for listening to my show, and Lisa, and thank you, and have a great day. God bless you and goodbye.